Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Gwen Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Sidnell-Reed, and our guest this week, Bob Bossen. Each week, we visit with an author from our region or somebody who is connected to our area. Sometimes our authors have other talents as well. They may be photographers, artists, or musicians, as is today's guest. We talk to them about their work, get a glimpse into their lives, and perhaps some of the stories behind what they write. And you have an opportunity to hear them read from their work. This week, we're very pleased to welcome as our guest, Bob Bossen. Bob will be visiting Coburg on April 23rd to perform his one-man show, Davy the Punk. Bob will be joining us by phone from Vancouver. But we have in the studio as well, Marianne Maruzik, who will be hosting Bob's show at her home here in Coburg, and she will give us more details of that later. So first, a little about Bob. For 40 years, Bob Bossen has turned Canada into stories, and those stories into songs. As the founder of the legendary Canadian folk group Spring Band, he is, according to the Edmonton Journal, a quintessentially Canadian performer. Bob has performed all over the world. When Bob is not writing music, he's writing something else. He's published award-winning essays and journalism, and his short story, Latkes, won second prize in the Antigonish Review's literary competition in 2007. His musical play, Boston's Home Remedy for Nuclear War, has had some 200 performances in Canada, the US, Australia, and New Zealand. His book, Settling Clayoquot, about the early years of settlement on the west coast of Vancouver Island, sold 10,000 copies. Bob also writes poetry. What you don't say can't be used against you, Bob's father, Davy the Punk Bossen, taught his son, a lesson that Bossen Jr. clearly never learned. Bob's book, Davy the Punk, about his father's life in Canada's gambling underworld in the 30s and 40s, was published in 2014 to glowing reviews. CBC's Michael Enright called it fascinating, amazing, and sometimes hilarious. And now Bob is touring his one-man musical of the same name. He will be presenting this show in Coburg on April 23rd. Bob, your songs are known for being quintessentially Canadian. Are all folk songs rooted in the writer's feelings about his or her own country and its stories, do you think?
Yes and no. I mean, the thing that I think distinguishes folk music from other kinds of music, I mean, it's certainly not stylistic because there's every style known to humanity that's folk music somewhere. But I think it's people who aren't writing commercially, whether that's writing for the patron, if you were a classical composer and, you know, on the employ of some rich guy in Europe, or whether it's writing in the Brill Building or rock and roll for sale with the idea of selling your music. So if you're not writing with an idea of selling your music, if you're not making up a song, then people make them up for all sorts of reasons, and you make them up because it's a salute to the bride and groom at the wedding, or you make them up because you think this pipeline is a terrible idea, or right, what have you. But because the impetus for the songs, and I think the subjects of the songs are real, they tend to be rooted in real people's lives, which are very much in their own corner of the country that they live in. So String Band, my group, who became really known as, you know, quote-unquote pioneers of Canadian music, I mean, we didn't set out to write Canadian songs. We wrote songs about the things that moved us and pissed us off and right, made us laugh that we encountered. One time, I remember being on the road with the band, and we had a gig on Bowen Island, which, and where we stayed, you could look down on Howe Sound and see all the marine traffic. And I used to get up first thing in the morning and go for a run, and I looked out, and there was a little tugboat down there towing an enormous amount of timber, and just got the flash of writing a song about tugboats. And so I started to research as we went up and down the coast. We'd play a gig, and I'd say, anybody here work the tugs? Can I buy you a beer? And talk to the guys. And that became my song, Tugboats, which, you know, is a a quintessentially Canadian song. It sort of achieved a kind of minor folk song status here on the West Coast. But it was very specific to Having the Flash first thing in the morning looking at a tugboat.
Right. Now, you've performed all over the world, and you write in many genres. So looking back, what would you say have been some of the highlights?
Oh, there's so many. I mean, I've been performing for 40 years. String band toured the Soviet Union when it was the Soviet Union and played up, you know, a whole bunch of interesting shows and met all sorts of interesting people and got a view of that country, both the bad sides and the good sides. It was remarkable. And thinking of travels, I played once, not with a band, but solo at the University of Hua Hat in Inner Mongolia.
Good heavens.
And somebody set up a meeting with the folklore professors of the university, and I had brought a jigur, which is that little wooden dancing man that has movable joints so you can click it against a piece of wood, but just makes a tippy-tappy sound. And they just loved it and were copying down the design. And I remember thinking that, someday anthropologists will find a jigur in Inner Mongolia and say, wait a minute, there must have been a land bridge between there and Quebec. Or just one more playing, string band played the Parliament Hill show on Canada Day for 100,000 people. And
wow.
We did my song, The Maple Leaf Dog, which is a real spoof of, patriotism as a substitute for thinking, and which is cheeky to do in the first place. But
especially on Parliament Hill on Canada Day.
I also had decided that we only did it for that one show is to add a howl, and I got 100,000 people on Parliament Hill howling at the Parliament buildings. I love that. Oh, there's so many highlights. Lots and lots of lowlights too, but we can let them be.
Yeah, I think so. Now, as a writer, you've written articles and essays for newspapers and magazines, a book about the West Coast, as well as short stories and poems. It's, quite the range. Does your writing in general have common themes? What sort of topics do you like to cover?
No, I don't know that it does. I mean, I am a folk singer and I suppose a folk writer, in that just something catches my fancy and then I have a dogged nature that I start researching and trying to get to the bottom of it. Something would interest me and then the form would follow. This would make a song, or good grief, this is a book, or
right.
Or this is an opinion piece. And so, and in those days, I think it's probably a lot harder now. If you had a good idea and you could write, you could freelance pieces to the magazines and the newspapers, and I think that's all much harder to do than it was when I was doing it. But that was kind of how it worked. I would just get a bee in my bonnet about something, or sometimes something I think would be a song and it would turn into something else entirely. But no, I've been very lucky in that I've been able to follow my passions and turn them into something that other people are, twigged to.
Right. And now, Bob, I think it's time that our listeners listen to one of your songs. So today we're going to play Clamp Down Races.
Sure thing. the inside dope. From Saratoga to New Orleans, it's hope eternal and cans of beans and woulda and shoulda and coulda beans. And hey, buddy, can you spare a smoke? All horse players die. Benny South Street was born on July the 7th, 1907, the seventh day of the seventh month of the seventh year. And on the eve of Benny's 70th birthday, he had a dream. He dreamt he was shooting craps. There were $100 bills all over the table, and when it came Benny's turn to roll, he threw a seven. He raked in all that money. Then he awoke to the song of the birds. There were seven song sparrows sitting on the wire outside Benny's window. Well, Benny got up, drank as usual a half a dozen cups of coffee. But then in the spirit of the day, he had a fateful seventh cup. And as he did, he opened the Morning Telegraph. And there on page seven, he saw that the seventh horse in the seventh race at Hialeah was called Lucky Number Seven. 17-1 on the morning line. Now, Benny was not a superstitious man, but he began to get excited. He got dressed and he rushed out to his bank where he withdrew $7,000. He stuffed that cash in his pocket and hailed a cab. He said, take 7th Avenue, got out at his bookies, and laid all $7,000 on the nose of Lucky Number 7. And damned if that horse didn't come in. 7th, I come down here with my hat caved in. Doo-dah, doo-dah, gonna go back home with a pocket full of tin. All the doo-dah day. Gwine to run all day, bet my money on the bobtail nag. Somebody bet on the bay. Somebody bet on the bay. All horse players die broke in shiny pants and a tattered coat. It's bad beats and hard cases. A pair of eights against a pair of aces. You can dope a race, but you can't dope the races. Like Savonarola wrote, all horse players die broke.